welcome back to the Hall Pass Podcast. This is our season one, episode six. Today we're going to be delving into college interviews. For those of you who are younger and you're like, I don't know how to prepare for college interviews, or do I even have to worry about this yet? We're actually going to talk about this a little bit more and how you can prepare as a younger student, 9th, 10th grader, even in middle school. So stay tuned for the rest of the episode. I still think that it's always good to be prepared. Early bird always gets the worm. So before we get into this, I just want to talk a little bit about what college interviews are. So college interviews are usually done by alumni of the college that you are interviewing for. They are a way for admissions to not only get to know you as a student, but to give you an opportunity to get to know them, the school that you're applying to. So let's just say you're applying to Carnegie Mellon, for example. The interview offers you an opportunity to really get to know what Carnegie Mellon alumni thinks about the school and their experiences, as well as for them to get to know you. So when do interviews happen? Well, there are two types of interviews. There are pre-application interviews and post-application interviews. Pre-application interviews happen before you submit your application, and they're usually opportunities to just show colleges that you're interested in their school and to learn more about them. Now, normally pre-application interviews don't necessarily have an evaluation for you as a student, and so they're not adding any of that information into your application. However, colleges will know that you did a pre-application interview, which alerts them that you were really interested in applying to their university. Post-application interviews happen after you submit your application, and they're usually opportunities for colleges to add information in regards to your personality and characteristics to your application. So most colleges ask interviewers to fill out an evaluation form. Sometimes they're just like a one page or maybe a 200 word summary of their interview experience with you, or sometimes they're like a 1 through 10 scale on their experience in the interview with you, and those will get added to the applications. So pre-application interviews and post-application interviews. Pre-application interviews can happen anywhere from August to October, even in November, and post-application interviews usually happen right after you submit your application. For earlies, it would be after November 1st, and for regulars, it would be after January 1st. So again, it kind of varies. So anyway, welcome back, my boys, again.
Hey there.
So let's get into interviews a little bit more. So why do interviews matter, Richard?
Well, it really depends on the school. So there will be some schools where if you go onto their websites, they'll say that if you cannot do the interview, it really doesn't impact your admissions decision in any way. So it's not really a big deal whether or not you do it. For other schools, they'll say, it's not necessarily required, but it is highly recommended. And so if you have the opportunity to do an alumni interview, you should definitely take advantage of it. So typically these interviews do matter a lot. Interviews provide admissions officers, like Jenny said, to get a better understanding of the student in terms of his personality, his interests, and past experiences. One of the most important things that the interviewers are looking for is how much interest the student actually has into the school. So whether or not they're treating this interview more as a formality just because he has to be there, he's just going through the steps, or because he genuinely wants to be there to tell the interviewer a little bit more about himself and to potentially learn more about the school from the interviewer too. So if you are a student who is kind of on the brink of being accepted as well, maybe you're going to be waitlisted, or maybe you're going to be accepted. The admissions officers are still trying to decide on that. And a great interview can help push you into acceptance. And so, again, most of the time we would recommend that you do them.
And I think even if you don't have like a phenomenal interview too, you're still going to help your case, because you go from, just by showing up to the interview, you go from being a statistic, just another applicant. So now you're like a human being with a face.
Exactly.
Right? So if you have on the admissions committee, if you have someone who is an F, right, on the Myers-Briggs test, like Jenny here, every time Jenny interviews someone, she's like, that person was awesome. We need to hire him. Like, if we went off that, like, we'd have like 50,000 employees.
It definitely helps to have a face there. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, and sometimes, colleges actually, I mentioned Carnegie Mellon earlier, one of their essays are on their application are actually did you interview with an alumni or someone from Carnegie Mellon, and how was your experience? Mm-hmm. So they actually want you to write about that. And so, when we say interviews matter, I absolutely agree with what Richard and Travis also said. And also for admission, sometimes for those borderline applicants where there's only one spot left and we're kind of confused confused on who to choose, who to accept, we might look at that interview transcript and that interview evaluation and say, hey, you know, this student did an interview and they had pretty good remarks. We might want to go with this student instead. So in situations like that, interviews can make a really big difference.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious, who are here had interviews for their colleges? I honestly didn't even know that interviews were a part of the process till I started working at Admission Masters.
I did. And your name is
Jay.
Do you guys want to talk about your experiences and how that kind of played out for you?
I think that the biggest thing about my experience doing an interview was really super nerve-wracking because, you know, 15 years ago there was no such thing as these kinds of services or supports.
Oh man, you're so old.
Yeah, I know. You had to go to the library and look up these reference cards. There's something called an encyclopedia.
Dewey Decimal what is System, that? Baby.
But overall, I think the experience I took away from that is you have to come prepared. My parents obviously gave me some prep and we looked at some like work experience or work interview types of things, but ultimately you got to be able to be comfortable about talking about yourself. And that's one of the hardest things that I think high school students struggle with, talking
Absolutely.
About themselves and with clarity.
I don't know about today's high school students.
Possibly.
They love talking about themselves.
Yeah, but I feel
especially
like,
on Facebook.
And there's all these like unspoken expectations and rules. Do I have to wear a tie? Do I have to be super formal? I think that if I had to give one lesson, it's practice and prepare. My experience went well because my parents told me to practice and prepare.
Awesome.
Yeah. This is punkage, but I didn't have an interview for college like you, Travis. I went into the summer with other interviews, though, for abroad experiences, and I had like leadership activities and clubs positions. I felt like that helped me get out of my nervousness shell. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, the introductory to these kind of adult kind of interviews and mm-hmm. stuff, and it really helped me. So even though I didn't have it, later in the years, I did do alumni interviews, mm-hmm. and I was able to see the flip side of it, and it was very interesting. And exactly what Jay said, just prepare, maybe have some mock interviews and mm-hmm. find that comfort zone. Everyone's going to be nervous. It's a completely natural thing mm-hmm. that teenagers go through. Some are way more outgoing, some aren't. You got to kind of moderate that even if you are on any of the extremes. But yeah, you know, just I remember vividly now thinking back to when I went to my Japan experience. I did a semester out there and that was a really long, rigorous kind of interview with adults that mm-hmm. I was like, whoa, who are these people? But they wanted to see my personality, if I could handle it, you know, at that kind of age. And I think the earlier interviews in high school helped me for that because I was really just having a conversation. Yeah. Really, it wasn't. I didn't feel like I was having an interview after a while. It was just like we're having I think we were at like a Starbucks or a coffee house and just having a conversation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So do I have to do interviews? You know, what if I'm a student? I get this question a lot from students and parents. You know, parents are like, I don't think that my child would do very well in an interview, you know, or a student tells me like, I just don't know if I will be great at an interview. Do I have to do the interview? So, you know, is that something that is necessary?
So, again, it depends on the school. The general rule of thumb is to take advantage of interviews whenever possible, especially when someone from the college reaches out to you to try to set up an interview. It can look somewhat bad if you decline an interview for some reason. It might look like you're hiding something, or there might be a reason. They might think there's a reason why you don't want to show up to that interview in the mm-hmm. first place, and you don't want admissions questioning why you declined that interview offer. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if it's the student's responsibility to set up the interviews, and the college allows you to set those up, then we usually recommend students take advantage of those interviews as well, as long as you have an adequate amount of time to prepare for those. Although I do know that there are some students that I guess might not fare well with an interview. So if you think, you know, you're the type of student that might show up and would completely just bomb it and you don't think there's any way that you could prepare for it, because I truly do think that there are some students who just may not do the best in an interview no matter how much time they prepare, or I guess like if they even if they had an adequate time to prepare, and so yeah. It might be better to forego it then. But for most students, I do recommend that they do take advantage of these.
So the way I express it to my students is that there's, I don't think necessarily a huge reward, it's like a minor reward, because it gives the interview basically gives the thumbs up and the green light, yeah, this is a good student for a campus, he or she will like fit on campus really well. But then there's the very bad type of outcome, which could be that, you know, the interviewer does it the student comes unprepared, and he goes, he writes in the notes after the interview, this is not a student meant for our school.
Right.
Right. And so there could be a huge negative.
Yeah. There could definitely be a lot of red flags if you do say something wrong in an interview.
So the question that I always run into is, you know, first identifying whether the student has not only the personality, but the willingness to put in the practice and the effort. Again, I'm always a proponent that practice can lead to perfection, that practice is anything you need. It's the only thing you need to get better. But with that being said, have I told some students, very awkwardly some parents as well, that they shouldn't do the interview? Yes, I have. Because, please, this is an evaluative system. This is not a feel-good, go and have fun. They are judging you when you do these interviews. And if you don't come off with high marks, then you're going to run into some issues there.
Don't judge me.
Yeah, so I would agree. I mean, a lot of times when a college, so what Richard had just mentioned, if a college sends you an email or sends you a notification and says, hey, we're inviting you to do an interview, more often than not, it's probably to your advantage to do the interview. If the interview is a sign-up process, no one emailed you, no one asked you to or invited you to do an interview, but you go on their website and they have interviews available, which is the case for pre-application interviews for USC, then, you know, at that point, it's really, again, it would be to your advantage if you did the interview to show interest, to learn and have them learn more about you. But, you know, in very rare cases, there are times when students maybe should not do an interview because it could potentially negatively impact.
Yeah, and I don't want to scare you off from the interviews as well. I don't want you to think that it's going to be this very intimidating experience. From the interviews that I've had, almost all the time, the interviewers will be very nice, empathetic people. They're just there to communicate with you and to learn a little bit more from you. And so there really is no reason to be nervous around them or to feel like you're going to go into this interview and be just drilled with questions. And so you shouldn't be afraid of these.
It's not like it's like a career employment kind of interview where they're going to grill you to see how you handle pressure.
Right, right.
They'll be empathetic. I think that's the key. They sense that this is a nervous experience. You're young students are going through it and they'll empathize with
them. They're very understanding of it.
The way I characterize it, think of it like a blind date. I've never been on a blind date, but that's what I think it's like.
So you know so much about that.
I'm an expert on not being an expert on blind dates, guys.
But great advice.
That's how I give the advice to students. I say it's really about, can you hold a conversation, right? And I have to be very critical here. If you're a parent right now who's very doubtful of your son or daughter to be able to hold a conversation, like when students come in, do initial consultation with me, they want to see what our service is about, I immediately start by judging the student. The moment they walk in, their body posture, their smile, their handshake. And I would argue that as a parent, this is something that we can work on, building confidence in a student early on. There is no personality type that makes you weaker at an interview necessarily. Just because you're an introvert doesn't mean you can't do well in an interview. Mm-hmm. These are practice skills that you develop through time.
Mm-hmm. And guess what? Interviews are going to stick with you and they'll be with you for the rest of your life as long as you're looking for a job. Almost every job that you are seeking will have interviews. So this is something that you should always, you know, you should learn to do. You want to bring your best foot forward.
And sometimes panel interviews with multiple people and sometimes rounds of interviews.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's a skill that just needs to be
developed.
Group
interviews. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's go around. I think this will be a really fun game. Are you ready, everyone?
Yes. I love games. Exciting.
Okay. Let's go around and talk about what kinds of questions they ask during interviews. And so we'll just kind of circle around and maybe you can shout out some interview questions that you've heard of in the past, some typical ones and atypical ones as well. So we'll just go in circles until maybe one person can't think of any and then they lose.
Most common one, tell me about yourself.
Great way to start off a conversation. I interviewed as an alumni interviewer, and it's always awkward to start an interview with, what are your strengths and weaknesses? Mm-hmm. And so it's always better for us to start with, tell me a little bit about yourself. That way we ease you into the conversation, and that's why it's a good question to ask.
Tell me about yourself. My name is Jay, and I have not been on a blind date.
And that is all you need to know about me. Okay, we're going to go this way.
Sure. One of their questions that typically get asked is, what programs or what program do you want to apply for, or why are you interested in this program?
Mm-hmm.
I think the two biggies that are asked pretty much across the board, and this goes for employment interviews too, is what are your biggest strengths and weaknesses? Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with the atypical one because this is actually an interview question we got from a liberal arts college recently. And it was, if you found yourself in the zombie apocalypse, what would your role be and why?
Whoa. So, advice for that. Yeah, anyone have advice for that?
Have fun with it. Enjoy it.
Hey, Boy Scout motto: be prepared. Yeah. You gotta be prepared.
Find Woody Harrelson and get to the Twinkie.
Get to the Twinkie. Reference. Get to the Twinkie.
My advice for these weirder questions, because there's a lot. Like, I mean, I would say 90% of the interviews, they're not gonna ask you a question like this. But just in case they do, on the off chance that they do, don't worry so much about the answer that you present to them. Focus more on the explanation for why you picked that answer.
Yeah, and this is where your answer, your personality can shine here. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Boy Scout motto, be prepared. You know, you can do things like that, or Jake can say, you know, I got to get my space artifacts together or something.
elements, bring your personality.
Yeah, elements of your personality. Yeah. You know, like Jenny, you may say, I need my purse and makeup. To prepare.
Oh, okay. That was very sexist of you. I absolutely would not say that. I would not say that. I was actually thinking guns.
I'm just kidding. Wait. Oh, wow. By the way, you guys are getting my question all wrong. I said, what role would you play in the zombie apocalypse? Not what would you bring.
The zombie killer, of course.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, again, the explanation is the most important thing. So what I'm saying here is, if they were to ask you this question, if they were to ask you, you know, if you were a color, what color would you be and why?
Or if you were a fruit, what fruit would you be?
Yeah, anything like that. Don't worry too much about the answer to that question. Don't sit there for 30 seconds like thinking of like what's the perfect fruit or the perfect color to impress this person. Just say something and then just explain follow it through with
that's
a good
great,
explanation.
That's a great advice. That's a great advice. Okay, other questions. So if they do have access to your application or your resume, they may pinpoint something from that and ask you about your experiences or maybe say your extracurricular activity or maybe your leadership position and say, hey, tell me a little bit about what you did for this organization or what your leadership position was.
So it really depends, but for the most part, when you're asked about leadership questions, when you're asked about these kinds of things, it's always good to come with an example, like a scenario based, mm-hmm. so that you can, just like as Richard was saying, they're not necessarily looking for the answer as much as the reasoning, mm-hmm. the rationale. Mm-hmm. So a very common one that I get is describe a conflict that you encountered and how you came to resolve mm-hmm. that. They're not asking, well, there's this guy named Tom. And they're not thinking about that. Instead, here's my answer, by the way. I would always begin by arching out and saying things like, well, as someone who has dealt with conflicts all the time as part of ASB, the first thing I introduce, I always try to incur, I guess, or introduce into the atmosphere is calmness and clarity. Mm-hmm. From there, do you see what I'm doing is I'm not explaining the scenario as much as I'm explaining my default, like my go-to steps for any general conflict issue that mm-hmm. I run into. Mm-hmm. That expresses your personality and your maturity better.
Mm-hmm. I almost think the most underrated question that's asked is, do you have any questions for me?
Oh,
boom,
that's a great
mic
one.
Drop. Your opportunity to shine right there.
Yeah, so I want to talk about that question really quickly. So if you are in an interview and they say, do you have any questions for me? And your answer is no, that is the wrong answer for to the sure. question. Mm-hmm. You always want to come up with at least 3 to 5 questions that you can ask the interviewer about, you know, their personal experiences at the college that you're applying to. This is an opportunity for you to learn about the school, an opportunity for you to sit one-on-one with an alumni, someone who attended the school before, and talk to them about their experiences and learn from them. So
yeah, exactly. This is where your research and your preparedness, like, you know, little nuances of the school are good here, because mm-hmm. you can ask, I heard about this little spring fair, this little activity that goes on campus that's very unique to that campus or this dorm. Mm-hmm. And you can ask that and they'll be like, whoa, that's kind of an insightful question. Yeah. And then they can go into their personal experience. Sometimes a good question is, yeah, you know, if what do you know now that you didn't know as an incoming freshman? Mm-hmm. Kind of get their personal experience mm-hmm. insightful. You know, those are the kind of things that you can really highlight, go above and beyond, instead of just asking the rudimentary,
yeah,
how was the school?
As a tip too, I usually recommend that students don't ask questions that you can easily find the answer to just by Googling. So you shouldn't be asking questions like, is this school a semester system or a quarter system? Or, you know, how many students attend the school? Because this is something you can easily figure out.
Very
the questions
good point.
Should really be about, I would say, about that alumni's specific experience at the school. Mm-hmm. You know, who was your favorite professor? Or if you could go back and do it all over again, what would you do differently? Mm-hmm. Questions like that.
A couple of major fails though in asking the question is college, like, what's the college ranking, or what are my chances? Sometimes students can ask, what are my chances of getting in with my, you know, knowing what you know about a GPA? Never ask those kind of questions. Really, those are really not thoughtful questions.
Yeah That's a good one. All right, Travis.
One question that, so I learned this my sophomore year of college, we had Jay Matthews, and he was the education writer at the New York Times, and he said that the question that he asked every interview he ever had, and it worked every single time. He said, "What are your reservations about hiring me?" Mm. So you could flip that around at a college exam. You could say, "What would be your reservations about, you know, having me as a student at what Cornell?" Okay. Maybe. And I told this to my little brother and my girlfriend, and every time they had an interview, they like, "Wow, the interviewer." I don't know why that question is so powerful, but it is.
It is. It's really important. You know what? It's the thing is. And part of self-confidence, so the kids are nervous during this interview stage, right? You got to remember that this is a match. They're not just interviewing you, but if you put yourself, you're trying to interview them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a power move.
It's kind of a little power move, but it also gives you.
Why do you want me?
As the interview, you know, it gives you as an interviewee a little more power, a little more self-confidence, mm-hmm. and it helps you with the interview because like they should want you, right? They should want you as a person mm-hmm. for that job, for that admission, and this and that. So that, you know, that's a really. It's insightful question. I think it, like, it would help an interview.
Yeah, it's. I mean, literally since my sophomore year class, that has just stuck with me because I mean, I've used it a few times for job interviews, and every time I've asked that question, they're like, "Wow, I mean, that's a really good question," and you kind of leave them a little stunned.
Yeah,
which is what in some cases they try to do.
My mind is blown.
On that really same note, try not to stump your interviewer with questions. This isn't a competition.
Ah, gotcha.
Oh, you didn't.
You're from MIT? Gotcha!
Exactly. Any other questions that anyone else can think of that are kind of popular?
What do you do when you're nervous? We're switching gears here now.
Oh, okay.
We deal with that quite a bit.
Okay.
Yeah, who won the game?
Oh, yeah.
Janie's got to pick a winner.
Everyone's a winner.
Well, yes. I'm an F. It's
in this day and
age. MBTI,
I come from the old school where someone's got to win and the rest are losers.
We're millennials.
Everyone.
So.
Is a winner in my heart. Actually, Jay, I wanna hold off on that because I think it'll be nice to kind of talk about that as we talk about how we should prepare. So those of you who do get nervous and get sweaty palms and things like that, we're gonna talk about, you know, what to do to prepare for those situations because I, you know, have been doing interviews for a long time and I still do get really nervous. So we'll definitely talk about that. But let's talk about this. So all these questions that come up, some ask about zombie apocalypse, some ask about, you know, why do I wanna do this major? Why wanna go to this college? By the way, that's a very, very like 100% question that I'll guarantee that they'll ask you. Yeah. Why do you want to come to our university? You know, that's a very important question. So how do I prepare? So let's start with 9th and 10th graders. As an underclassman, a lot of students think like, I don't need to prepare for interviews right now. I don't do that until later. But what are some things that they can do to start preparing?
Yeah. So instead of doing the hardcore college research and going onto the website and things like that, I think at a 9th and 10th grade level, especially at the 9th grade level, just start having adult conversations, trying to have productive conversations with your teachers, with your counselor, with maybe club leaders. Just start getting comfortable with conversating at a higher level than from teenage, you know, your peers. Mm-hmm. So that's the one kind of at least tip at that young age.
I would absolutely agree with that. And one other thing is to kind of change your perception of how you view adults. Because, like, as we're raised, like, they're not three-dimensional human beings, right? They're just, like, the person who gives me a ride and feeds me, right? But now, like, you can look at them as, like, real human beings and, like, they have lives and problems too. And you can, like, talk to them about that stuff, you know? So I think just your perception of them as, like, a human being just like you is important in being able to carry out, like, a normal conversation. Mm-hmm.
That reminds me. I remember when I saw like my teacher at the grocery store, and I was like, "Whoa, what are you doing?
Like, what do you say outside of school?"
I realized, yeah, you're like, you're just aren't you at school all the time, 24/7? And it's like, you know, they're real people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So what about now after kind of 9th and 10th grade, you know, you're getting into your junior year. At this point, you should have a little bit of a better idea of the colleges that you want to apply to, maybe the colleges that you're thinking about in the future. What can you do as juniors to prepare for college interviews?
So as a junior, you're at that point where you are starting to really consolidate your activities. You're trying to, like, in a sense, develop your major direction, your focal point. And that's where you have to start developing something called a personal narrative. So for those who watch, let's say, American Idol or like those audition shows that were, you know, all the rage the past 10 years, or if you do something like go on Netflix and watch Chef's Table, what you'll notice is that when there's this narrative or monologue, people are kind of trying to describe their life. And so An example that I'd like to give is, or an advice, piece of advice is, try to look at your resume. First, have a resume by junior year, please. Mm-hmm. Okay. And identify what your strengths are. Okay, well, I'm the Boy Scout, Eagle Scout. I also have president of X Club. And from there, what you want to do is try to weave together a story of where that interest came from and where you want to take that interest into the future. Mm-hmm. A second tip that I give is just like in writing, okay, no one is born an immaculate writer. Every writer learns from greatness. They learn from other great writers. Just like that, interviewers, great interviewers, learn from other great interviewers. So go on to Google or go on to YouTube, type in CEO Microsoft interview, right? Microsoft CEO interview, I got that mixed up. But sometimes you'll see these very, very, I guess, like educational opportunities to emulate some of the mm-hmm. professionals in this world. And so mm-hmm. those would be my two advice. In 11th grade, you guys have to start thinking about what is my personal narrative and how can I convey it in a very appealing way. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So let's move on to seniors. You know, if you're a senior, I know if you're a senior right now, obviously you should. Some of you are probably doing alumni scholarship interviews or other type of interviews like that. But for the most of you, you should be done. But for seniors who are, you know, even class of 2018 at this point, when you become a senior, especially when the school year starts, what are some things that you would recommend that they start to do?
Yeah, at this point, I think you should definitely be setting up interviews with colleges. And again, sometimes you have to set up the interviews with the colleges yourselves. Other times they will reach out to you to set up those interviews. One of the main things that you should be doing in addition to this is actually researching the colleges themselves. So I don't think we got a chance to talk about this yet, but when you are going into these college interviews and they ask you that very popular question, why do you want to come to our school? One of the main things that you're showing to them is that you want to go to that show on the to that school. And the best way to show that is, I've done my research. I've taken the time to learn about this institution and I know exactly why I want to come here. And so take the time to research the colleges. And then lastly, and above all, practice. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that you're taking the time to do mock interviews whenever possible with your teachers, with your friends, with your parents. If you don't have someone who can do a mock interview with you, my other tip is to record yourself answering some questions on your computer and then play it back and see what you're doing wrong, what you're doing right, and improving upon your weaknesses. And so at this point, again, a lot of that practice is going to be necessary.
Absolutely. So let's really narrow this scope down and talk about interview prep, like week of and day before and day of, hour before, 5 minutes before.
You got to remember, you don't want to overdo it because then you won't be genuine.
Right, right.
You want to be yourself too, yeah. So you can't be robotic. Yeah. Like, I have prepared this to the nth degree.
And that's the other thing, you know, a lot of times people come into interviews and before I even ask the question, like, tell me about your, hi, my name is, da, 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 and they're like, very much. And I'm like, oh, well, I haven't even, okay, this yeah. person is.
Shut down.
And so sometimes when you rehearse too much and it's very much scripted, it does sound like that. It sounds rehearsed. It sounds not genuine. So we're talking about preparation, but when you're preparing, make sure you're talking as if you're a person. You know, the one biggest thing that you want to do in an interview is to smile and be personable. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that you want to make sure that you do throughout an interview. Even if you don't have the best accolades and you are not the leader of 65 million clubs, if you come out there and you have a great personality in that interview, that's going to say a lot about who you are as a student.
Yeah, I think those are really good tips. And there's some other pitfalls I want to just make folks aware of. Eye contact goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Smiling. I've seen in interviews, I've seen students look down, look away. Mm-hmm. It just kind of distracts and it just shows a lack of confidence.
Mm-hmm. I had an interviewer come to, I did a mock interview with a student and he came with his arm on his table and his, he talked to me with his face on his hand the entire time.
The posture is really important.
Yeah, posture is very important.
Slouching, be engaged. Yeah, be engaged. You know, on your back or like, you know, leaning up against the chair. Yeah. I know you guys can't
crossing
really see what
arms
I'm doing.
Even, yeah.
Yeah, things like that are
so
really important.
I think too, sorry, Jay, is that, you know, when you go into an interview, you know, we're talking about all this stuff, like don't slouch and smile and have a firm handshake and all that stuff. You know, it's also important to, you know, recognize that you got an interview. So that's a step further than most people have gotten, right? Especially mm-hmm. if you're talking about a part-time job or a full-time job. So, you know, relax a little bit, get out of your head, you know, and just, it's a conversation with mm-hmm. someone, you know, mm-hmm. you're talking about yourself. Like Jay said, it's a blind date. They want it to go well, right? No one goes into a blind date thinking, oh God, I can't wait to dump this guy, yeah. right? They want you to succeed. So know that coming in, and I think if you have that mindset, it'll help you relax, because I think that the most successful interviews, like you said, Punky, are that you become so relaxed that you almost forget you're interviewing. Mm-hmm. You're just having a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so exactly. Some of my favorite, I remember some interviews from the past now. I remember one applicant, she came in and hugged me. He said a handshake, but it was her. She's like, I'm a hugger, you know. It was her, and we had a conversation. It was really good, and it was just a positive memory. You know, that's what you want, is that you come out in that positivity, bubbliness. Even though everyone's not like that, even if you're an introvert, as Jay said, mm-hmm. you know, you can be an introvert, but you can still communicate and you can mm-hmm. still talk about your passions in computer science or engineering or whatever it is. And yeah, I'm stereotyping again, but I'll stop.
So let's talk about that. Let's go into kind of, you know, what do I do if I'm nervous? What do I do if how else could I better prepare, you know, for these interviews?
So there's always going to be a degree of nervousness. If you think that you're the only nervous person going to an interview, despite all the practice you've done, you're not. Mm-hmm. So the real key here is to chisel that down, that nervousness down. And it's more than just the day of. It starts weeks in advance. So the moment you notice that you have to do an interview, you got the appointment date, let's say it's 2 weeks from now, you're immediately beginning your research. You're writing down potential details as to how to answer certain questions, like why do you want to attend this college, right? You're bullet pointing. I always emphasize to my students, don't script out your entire response word for word. That doesn't help you. That makes you so inorganic. Remember, the goal is to show organicness in your response. And so bullet point your responses and allow yourself to free flow, to connect these bullet points and practice. Don't practice in front of a mirror. Practice in front of people. Ask your mom and dad during dinner time to, hey, can you spend 10 minutes with me to work this out? Mm-hmm. And ask for advice. Do it with your teacher. It'd be a great way to develop a relationship with your teacher if you ask for advice about something like that. Now, you're doing that for the whole entire weeks leading to that day. Throughout that time, you're also doing some overall holistic kinds of things. I hate to get all feng shui on you guys, but you know, exercising is so key. Exercising, eating well, complex carbohydrates, wow. Sleeping well is a huge factor. You don't want to go to your interview with baggy black eyes, okay? And the day of, you're looking for a way to exude confidence. I know that a lot of my students get nervous. So here's some tips for being confident. You know, it's really a mental game. Confidence is something that you choose to have, mm-hmm. right? Staying positive is a choice that you make. But there's some ways you could trick yourself if you really can't overcome your own self-doubt, I suppose, which is, one, it's called the power pose. I think a Harvard Business School professor talked about the power pose. And essentially, what you want to do is you want to put your hands on your hips and then straighten up your back.
Like
and
Superman.
Pop your chest like Superman. Podcast. Okay? Everyone follow along with me. Let's go ahead and do that. And when you do that, there is a psychological effect. It actually exudes confidence in you. It's not a joke. It's clinical. Okay. Here's one that's a little bit more contentious, but there is a little science to back this up. Eat a banana. Musicians do this all the time. Before they're about to go into a big live concert, they'll eat a banana. Something to do with beta blockers and other things.
Tryptophan,
things like that.
Don't pretend
but
like you know.
I have no idea. You know, I need to consult my expert Google.
I'm curious, what do each one of y'all do when you're nervous for something?
I like this.
What
are your
actually going to mention this. So I remember when I was doing interviews for colleges, I woke up and I had those like pre-interview jitters. And so I had maybe like 2 hours before my interview was going to start. So what I did was I ran a mile. And I don't know why, but like after you're like halfway through the mile, your heart's like beating a little bit faster. All the anxiety, the nervousness, it just completely dissipated.
Yeah,
it was
over.
Amazing. I was like, wow, I just feel so confident. I felt so much better. And so I don't know if you're big on exercise, but I highly recommend running a mile before you don't go in sweaty too, though.
I remember, you know, I do get nervous in the interviews also. I think it's natural.
Yeah,
if,
for sure.
If you come off that means you care.
Yeah,
you
I
care
think nerves
also.
Are
so,
a good thing.
So a little bit of nerves are good. I it's corny, but I talk to myself. I'm like inside my head. I'm like, you got this. Don't worry. You the man.
Listen to some music sometimes. Yeah.
You the man. You the man.
I think I fall into the same boat as Punkage. I think before I do an interview, I think I got this. I can't wait to show them who I am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I force myself to feel confident and say, you've got something to offer. And now I can't, you know what I'm thinking now? I'm thinking, I can't wait to get to that last question. What was your question at the very end when they have a question for you?
What are your reservations about hiring me?
I'm so excited to ask that now. That's what I look forward to now.
It's a good one.
So confidence.
Look at Jay.
Don't intimidate them while you see.
Jay is excited in a long time.
Stare them down in the eyes.
Yeah, don't get too confident and too crazy in the interview. But yeah, what about you, Travis?
The most nervous I have ever been in my life was the first time I went on live TV. It was on ABC back in D.C., and it was during the high school state championship, and I was our boys basketball beat writer. So I went on, and it was a 20-minute thing, and it was live. And so I was being interviewed, being asked about the teams, and I was like, holy crap, like there's so many cameras and lights.
What do I do with my hands?
And so I really didn't know how to prepare. So what I did, I just knew everything about every team, even teams I didn't cover. And I knew it like the back of my hand. And when they asked me questions, like, I was just talking and spitting out facts. It was almost on a subconscious level.
Preparation
like,
goes
yeah,
a long
it,
way, for
preparation,
sure.
Like, I cannot speak enough on it. Mm-hmm. Like, it'll get to a point where your brain just knows what to do.
Yeah.
If you prepare enough.
So I don't really get nervous, so.
Come on, guys.
I'm just kidding. No, I get nervous all the time. And I think I do a combination of what all of you guys have said. I definitely have ran before. I tell myself and you know, to be confident. I don't know if for those of you who might be religious out there, but I also, you know, pray or just kind of meditate as well and just think about, you know, I picture the interview going really well. And I see myself doing the interview really well. And then once the interview starts, you know, you're nervous. Nervousness dissipates a little
for
bit,
sure.
and you start just kind of being in the
it's
role.
That
and
first maybe 2, maybe 3 minutes
yeah.
that I felt like the most of the nervousness is there, mm-hmm. and so as the interview goes on, you'll find that it just
yeah.
becomes so much easier.
Yeah. Now, with talking to yourself, I remember now, I sometimes tell myself, if it goes bad, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many things going on.
Yep.
You know, there's so many other colleges that you're applying to,
yep.
and so we, you know, and maybe there's a plan.
Yeah.
You know, you're not supposed to get this or
yeah.
do well.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Okay, so let me just wrap up just a little bit. So which schools do interviews and how do I sign up? So we kind of covered this. Some of the colleges, they'll email you or they'll contact you directly and say, hey, you know, we have interviews available. We have alumni available in your area. Sign up, click here, blah, blah, blah. Some colleges will not even do that. And you might need to go on their website and see if they have interviews available. Sometimes they have on-campus interviews. And so if you're planning on visiting the campus, I would highly recommend you to do that, by the way. Especially if it's one of your top five choices, go visit the college and then you can sign up for an interview at a time there as well. So there's a lot of different ways in which you can do interviews, but a lot of times schools do interviews at local coffee shops or like Panera or something like that, where it's going to provide a little bit more of like a comfortable atmosphere. Some do it at their office, you know, if they work nearby or something, they'll do it at their office. But for the most part, that's kind of how you would go about it. All right. Any last minute, you know, things for interviews?
Just remind me, I remember some students had a question, like if when they go to a coffee shop or someplace and mm-hmm. the interviewer asked, you want something?
Yeah.
And a lot of students get tied up. Like, should I ask for a coffee
yeah.
or should I get for a ask for a water or something? But it's good if they offer, you know, to get what you want. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, if you want one.
What
you
about
want
payment
one.
Just don't.
That situation? I'm
and
curious.
Don't order like, I want a pizza and a bagel and a
sausage. And a steak and a lobster, please.
Yeah. So, you know, I always think about, you know, is there a long line? Because if there is a long line, then you're taking away from the interviewer's time and it might be a little bit inconvenient for them. And they ask as a courtesy. But honestly, if it's going to be distracting or if it's going to if you feel awkward about it because you're like, who pays? Do I pay? Do they pay? Blah, blah, blah. Then just don't get one. Say, no, thank you. I'm OK. You know, I'm OK with my water or whatever it is that you have. And it's okay to say no thank you. You don't have to order anything at that point. And so I always tell them to err on the side of, you know, caution and just say no thank you because it might cause, like, sometimes I ask that as an interviewer. I'm like, do you want anything? And they're like, yes, actually, could I get a pastry and a coffee? And I'm like, oh, okay.
Triple shot.
And I'm like, okay, what kind of drink do you want? And I'm kind of caught off guard. And so sometimes it might be better just to say no thank you and kind of move on smoothly.
That can come off bad too.
Yeah.
When the student goes, I am very particular with my coffee.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I only drink almond milk. Like, okay, okay.
So advice about that. Most of the times nowadays you're going to go to a coffee shop. Please bring a book or something just in case there's some downtime and tell your parents to go away for that hour
yeah.
or however long it's going to take.
And turn your phone off, not vibrate.
That's true too.
Yeah.
But more importantly, don't have your mom with binoculars sitting in the minivan right outside the pod looking through the window. Okay.
can't right. do that. Or sitting in the table next to you, giving you hints. And then also just one last thing about what to wear in terms of attire, because we didn't talk about that. So the most important thing is to look clean. So don't wear tattered jeans. Don't, you know, for boys, like have your boxers hanging out and things like that. You want to look clean. I always go with business casual. So you don't have to wear a suit and tie, especially because you're an alumni interviewer. Like I usually wore my alma mater sweater and that was it, you know? And so we're not wearing a suit and tie or anything like that when we're interviewing you. And so just look clean. Mm-hmm. And for girls, same thing. You don't want to wear skirts or dresses that are too short. You want to make sure that you look like you are presentable. And you're not also not going to high school. So don't like have a backpack or things like that.
Yeah. And these are undergraduate interviews. When you go to graduate school, professional school, then the dress attire is more professional. Yep. But this is undergrad. So
I think a good rule of thumb to follow is whatever's cool in high school, don't wear it.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you guys so much, by the way. I do want to just cover two questions. Thank you to our listeners for emailing us questions at
thehallpasspodcast@gmail.com.
So one question that I got from a parent was, or a student was, do I have to get recommendation letters from teachers that teach the subject related to my major? No, the answer is no. You don't have to get a recommendation letter from a teacher that, you know, teaches math if you're going to major in math, or science if you're going to major in science. But I would say the most important thing is for you to get a recommendation letter from a teacher who is going to speak highly of you and recommend that they are a core teacher and not like a PE teacher or something, or an art teacher, dance teacher, something like that. And then the second question that I got was from a parent who was a little bit worried. The parent said, you know, my child got rejected from a college. As you guys know, colleges have started to admit or reject or waitlist students in the month of March. And so a parent said, you know, my child got rejected to a college. What do I do? I want to say, first of all, that we are going to have another podcast just talking about what happens when you get rejected or waitlisted from a college. But first of all, I just want to say that it's okay. You know, if it's just one college, even if it was the dream college, I am a true believer in that there are a lot of colleges out there. And I'm also a true believer that colleges know when you fit in that school, and perhaps the fit wasn't right for this college. And also, you know, it would be a very different type of scenario if you had emailed me and said, my child got rejected from all of the colleges. Then we would have to kind of discuss what we would do next. But if it's just to one college, I would say wait. You know, we still have a little bit of time for that to come out, for acceptances and rejections to come out in the next week. And also colleges, if they waitlisted your child, that's another thing that we can start to talk about, because some schools have waitlist forms, some schools have priority waitlists, some schools have, you know, appeal letter processes. And so it's very different for each one. But for now, if your child got rejected to a single college out of the list of colleges that they apply to, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. It'll be fine.
I was going to say, teach them how to flip burgers at In-N-Out, because it's over.
No, but that's an important question, because you as a parent have to be the student's rock too.
Yeah.
You got to convey a sense of, you know, it'll be okay. There are other options. Again, the world's not going to end.
Exactly.
You know, things like that.
Don't listen to Travis. You're not going to flip burgers, I promise.
Actually, flipping burgers at In-N-Out ain't a bad job.
Actually, they make good money.
On point.
All right. So anyway, thank you all so much for listening to Season 1, Episode 6. If you missed any of our episodes, you can find it on iTunes or www.thehallpasspodcast.com. We also really, really want to hear from more of you if you wanted to send us more questions or general topics that you might want us to cover. And you can always email us at
thehallpasspodcast@gmail.com.
All right. Next time on Hall Pass, we're going to delve into the common application.
Dun, dun, dun.
See y'all later.
Bye. Ciao.